Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes. It's Mr. MSP. Not the usual melodic, downtrodden, old-time radio voice of JT ATM Money. But I am not going to leave you or make you disappointed. As the man with the master plan, the usual host with the most, the guy that hosts this show, JKT Money, is here, along with a third of the crew, Jeff the Joker. But right now, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. That's Mr. FSP to all of you. Oh, welcome boy. To Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. Today, of all days, it was hectic. It was like a Patriot scandal in the NBA. Just a bunch of stuff going on, going crazy. I said crazy. But without further ado, let me bring on the actual host and co-host, JT ATM Money, and then Jeff the Joker, so we can get this party started. JT, the floor is yours.
What's up, my man? Welcome, everyone, to another show. Like he said, I'm just catching all this because of technical difficulties. So we're going to try to get through to as much as we can, but we have a chat room which is open also for you if you'd like to use it for your listening, for your added pleasure, besides calling in, which is 1-347-637-3220. Say that again, 347-637-3220. It's a place to be if you want to talk to Vic, Jeff, or me. And on, we're going to be starting the show shortly, but let me pass it off to Jeff. And Jeff, what do you got to say?
Hey, Jerry, Vic, it's pleasure joining you guys tonight. I think this is going to be a basketball-heavy show. Hope I could pull my weight, and I got a couple questions about some of these deals today. They got to come up with a name for today. This is historical, like Big Thursday or Movement Thursday or something, because a lot of guys moved around today in the NBA, and a lot of it at the last minute.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I'm just sitting in as the host. JT is the host, and I'm not going to steal his thunder or nothing like that, but, JT, I'm going to go over some transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you know what? I'm not going to steal your thunder. Your show. How do you want to roll?
No. You go right ahead, Mr. Vic. I told you I'm blind here, and I'm just catching up.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's a big trade that took place with a three-team trade, actually four-team. But I'm going to talk about this one real quick. And, Jeff, you mentioned there was a lot of draft picks and stuff going on, so I want to talk about it. A big team that moved a lot, the Denver Nuggets. I guess Brian Shaw, a couple weeks ago, Brian Shaw did a post-game interview saying he don't know what's wrong with his players. They're not responding. They're not doing this, that, and the third. And people thought, well, it's because he's not coaching well. Well, the organization, obviously, in my opinion, decided it wasn't Brian Shaw. It was just key players on the team. So the Nuggets traded guard Aaron Afalo and forward Alonzo G to Portland for forward Thomas Robinson, once upon a time a lottery pick from Kansas, Washington, D.C. native, forward Victor Claver and guard Will Barton, and a protected 2016 first-round draft pick. They also then decided to trade JaVale McGee and a protected 2015 first-round draft pick and the draft rights to forward Madumba.
You tried.
Yeah, I tried, brother. Madumba, I'm reading cold copy, too. You never go on there with cold copy. Madumba to Philadelphia for the draft rights to guard Cenk Okoro and cash considerations. Jeffrey, you said you had some thoughts on all this stuff. Talk to me, man. What are your thoughts on trade like that?
Well, that trade, I'll be honest, I'm not that familiar with the players. One of my questions is, why is Kevin Garnett going back to Minnesota? Because usually when you see a veteran star like him moving in a trade, they're usually going to a contender. I guess maybe they want an expiring contract, you know, and I guess he could finish his career there where he started, where he was the only good player for about 10 years. It just, I don't know. That trade didn't make sense. I thought maybe he would go to a contender. And the Knicks, they made a trade. I mean, the guy they gave up was nothing special. They got 2 second-round draft picks, which are basically scratch-offs. But I guess if they could use those second-round for something else, you know, they can get a warm six-pack of Peels or something. I don't know. A little confused.
JT, weigh in.
You know, I like Aaron Afalo. I'm not too familiar with Alonzo G, but giving up Will Barton, Victor Claver, there had to be something going on to give up these players. And the Blazers receive them, Aaron Afalo, and Nuggets receive Will Barton, Victor Claver, and Thomas. I mean, this seemed like they turned over a lot of their roster and getting out all the guys that won't buy into the coach's philosophy and bringing some fresh fish to see if they can make a decent run at making the playoffs or at least salvage the season. I mean, damn.
No, go ahead.
Just that team alone made a huge splash in the trade deadline. And like I said, I'm behind the curve, so I know there's other ones that and Jeff alluded to one of them that I really didn't know about. Wow.
Here's the deal. Now, what Jeff said is he gets, you know, Minnesota wanted to acquire a expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, Thaddeus Young, because that's who Brooklyn got, you know, for Kevin Garnett, isn't a bum. Thaddeus Young is a decent young player.
Mm-hmm.
I think so anyway. And he goes to Brooklyn, which is an up-and-coming team, but they still have a lot of flaws and a lot of injuries. But that's a one-for-one trade. I think, you know, Jeff is right as far as saying Minnesota's just trying to acquire expiring contracts so they have cap room next year. Because with the young kid that won the dunk contest, Ricky Rubio's coming back, they got Jermaine Wiggins. Now they're looking for big guys. And if they can clear out cap space, they can probably get a few big guys. They might even, dare I say it, get Kevin Love back next year. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on to another big trade, guys. To me, it was a big trade. And I think the Miami Heat got a lot richer today. they acquired Gordon Dragic and Zoran Dragic, the Dragic brothers, for Danny Granger and center Justin Hamilton and two first-round picks.
Get out of here.
I'm not joking.
Yep.
So,
Jerry, this happened so quick. It just, this all happened last minute. It's crazy.
Yes. Now, the Dragic boys can shoot. They can. But Danny Granger, okay, he's on a bad wheel, got it. Hamilton has been doing pretty good down at center in Miami, but you get two first-round picks in the deal as well. Jerry's emotion says it all to me, so I'm going to let you go first, JT. What do you think about that trade?
Wow. That's they gave up two first-round draft picks.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, are they trying to win now? Wow. I mean, what in the world is going on?
Well,
was it a panic move that I can't believe Pat Riley would panic.
Well, he got young guys in the deal. He got young guys in the deal.
But he gave up two first-round draft picks.
That is true.
But that's the gamble, because if the trade works out, the late first-round picks, which aren't very valuable, if the trade doesn't work out, the lottery picks. Once in a while, though, they'll put some language in the deal that if it's lottery or top five or top ten, then they work something else out, you know. But that's the risk you take when you trade a draft pick, you know.
Absolutely right. And two first-round picks, and like Jerry said, second-round picks in the NBA are pretty much nothing, you know, because those guys aren't guaranteed money, and the talent level isn't, well, I'm not going to say it isn't, because there's been several solid second-round draft picks in the NBA, but you're not going to find too many good ones in the second round, but two first-rounders, big. Phoenix wasn't done. I'm telling you, Jeff Hornacek said, you know what, I want to get involved in some other stuff. So the Phoenix Suns acquire Brandon Knight from the Bucks. Milwaukee acquired, and this is a shocker in my opinion, Michael Carter-Williams from the 76ers, Miles Plumlee from the Suns, and point guard Tyler Ennis from the Suns. What did Philadelphia get? Draft picks. I didn't disclose which ones, but that's what they got.
76ers received first round pick protected via the Lakers. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Wow. So
Jeff? Well, go ahead, Jerry.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow. I mean, Jason Kidd got just got a little bit richer. The Suns received Brandon Knight. Oh, I can't believe they gave up Brandon Knight. Wow. And the Suns most of the teams in the West are going to be really strong contenders, but the Suns increased their value with Brandon Knight, and the Sixers are building for the future, obviously. Wow.
They've been doing that for the past couple of years, though.
He's trying to find the right formula with the right coach. That's not an easy thing to do.
Sure isn't. Jeffrey, your thoughts?
Yeah, wasn't the guy Philly Tree, was it Rookie of the Year? I mean, sometimes I wonder. I mean, I'm a casual fan, but, you know, sometimes, though, the casual fans have interesting insights and, you know, perspectives. You wonder sometimes, what do these GMs know that I don't? You know, and I don't think anybody expected so many deals to be made, because Dragic was unhappy. I don't think it was a secret that he was on the trading block, but a lot of these guys weren't on the block, or at least it wasn't known. I guess they were able to keep a secret, which is surprising. So a lot of these guys, you know, I bet you some of these guys, he came as a shock. I think somebody tweeted us on that. He woke up from his nap, boom, you know, new team. You know, and I mean, most of these guys know that's part of being in the NBA, but usually you know when it's coming.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know if Michael Carter Williams is going to fit in with Jason Kidd's team. Carter Williams likes to run and gun. I mean, Kidd was a facilitator. He liked to run and gun, too, but he played discipline. I don't know. Michael Carter Williams, as you said, Jeff, rookie of the year last year in the NBA, has new digs now. Let's move on to another three-team trade, which involved the Pistons, Oklahoma City, and the Utah Jazz. All right. Detroit acquires Reggie Jackson from the Thunder. So he steps in as the new point guard. And he's very capable because he did a good job when Russell Westbrook was down and Kevin Durant. So he pretty much had that team of no-name players on his shoulders while the two big stars were out. They did a decent job. He's going to have a tougher task in Detroit playing for Van Gundy, but we'll see. Oklahoma City receives center Enes Kanter from the Jazz, small forward Steve Novak from the Jazz, B.J. Augustin from the Pistons, the former Chicago Bull, Kyle Singler from the Pistons, who was actually doing pretty well once they got rid of Josh Smith. Utah acquires, and this is a shock to me, I didn't think he would ever leave Oklahoma, Kendrick Perkins.
Wow.
And power forward Grant Jarrett from the Thunder, and the rights to Timur Plesis and draft picks. It's not a lot of big names, but I think this is a very impactful trade. What are your thoughts, guys?
Well, let me say this. You left out a two important important factor in the draft picks. Utah gets a first round pick protected from OKC, and they also get a second round pick from Detroit. So, with an addition of adding those four players, three players, I should say, they get the first and a second round pick from two different teams. One first round pick from OKC, and a second round pick from Detroit. So they're trying to say, we know we're not going to do too much this year, but next year when we get these picks, we're trying to strengthen our team in a different way with some younger players, even though Kendrick Perkins is an older guy. So,
Jeff?
Doesn't this kind of leave Oklahoma City without a big man?
Yes.
Temporarily?
I think so.
You know, and some of these, you know, look, some of these trades are screwy, you know, like, and I'll tell you, I give these guys credit because these trades could get very complicated with all the salary cap ramifications, you know. But I guess that's why they get well paid, you know. But this stuff gets, you know, it's very complicated.
It is. Enes Kanter is a big man going to Oklahoma, but I don't know if he fits well into that system. Even though Utah ran a very similar system, but the pick and roll is not what, you know, Westbrook likes to do. And KD's amicable to doing anything, but I don't think, you know, he's going to fit well. Even though Perkins was not a big offensive threat, he did play decent defense and got rebounds. And his cancer isn't that defensive force. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Let's go on to another three-team trade. And I'm going to say this. This young man, I'm not sure if he's really related to him. I don't follow NBA that much. Maybe you guys help me out. But I think he should have stayed in Sacramento. He left Sacramento last year and headed to Phoenix. And Phoenix trades him, I'm talking about Isaiah Thomas, to the Sun. I mean, from the Suns to Boston. Boston also gets Jonas Jacobo and small forward Lee DeMonte from the Pistons. Phoenix receives shooting guard Marcus Thornton and a 2016 first-round pick. Detroit picks up a guy that, you know, is a good swing man and probably going to finish his career where he started, Tayshaun Prince from the Celtics. Jeff, your thoughts on these moves? Do you think it's a good move to have Isaiah Thomas in Boston? Was he getting utilized in Phoenix, or what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm not that familiar, but it's just Boston, it seems like there's so many NBA teams, especially a surprising number of big market teams just trying to, you know, figure out what to do to rebuild something. You know, I mean, look at this year, New York, Philly, Boston, L.A., all in the toilet, you know. And the thing is with the NBA, they only show a few teams on TV. You don't get to know the whole league.
I agree. All right. I was about to call you Mac. My bad, Jerry.
Yeah, that is my bad. My God. Wow, they got Isaiah Thomas. You know, to me, I think this is about an even trade. Probably the Celtics made out with Isaiah Thomas, but they picked up Marcus Thornton, which is not a bad player, but the key to that trade was definitely the 2016 first-round pick. It seemed like the Phoenix Suns were picking up some picks. If I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw we saw another trade that the Suns picked up, and I'm looking through this. Oh shoot! I just lost
it. They picked
up
several players. They did several deals. We just talked about Phoenix getting Brandon Knight. They also received Danny Granger and Justin Hamilton and two first round picks. So Phoenix did a lot of moving. Today,
and picking up some and picking up some picks in the process.
Correct.
Yeah, so they're going to be very active come the next few years with additional draft picks, especially high draft picks. And as these teams that are strong now get older, the Phoenix Suns are going to be getting. Players that are younger and maybe a change in the guard. OKC, now I wouldn't say Golden State, definitely San Antonio. These teams that some of these players are older, not Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, but some of these older teams like Dallas, even though the turnover in the teams in the West is going to be very interesting to see over the next few years, especially the barrage of draft picks and trades that went across before the deadline. So,
well, these next few trades, I don't think they're going to have a big impact other than the draft picks, but they took place. Houston receives point guard Pablo Prigioni from the Knicks, and the Knicks receive a decent shooting guard in Alexei Sheriff and two second-round picks. In a related move, the Rockets also receive point guard K.J. McDaniels, and they send Isaiah Cannon and a second-round pick to Philadelphia. So, you know, the Rockets, I guess they were unhappy or are unhappy with Patrick Beverley or his backup that they went out and got two point guards. Your thoughts on that?
Wow. You never can have too many point guards, let me put it that way. You can never have too many point guards.
Don't tell that to Rod Strickland. you know what I'm referring to, right?
What's that?
Well, you know, the Rod Strickland, he was drafted in the first round. He was late in the first round by the Knicks. And I think the Knicks had already drafted Mark Jackson the year before, who got off to a very good start with the Knicks. You know, it was before, you know, he was having a lot of troubles with his knees. So I guess they went with the best available player. So Strickland, you know, with the Knicks, I think he was with the Knicks for about a year or two. He was backing up Jackson, and he didn't like it because he knew he was good enough to start. I mean, everybody could tell he could play. And, you know, when he did get into the game, he looked very good. And then, of course, you know, some fans say, well, play them both. But that doesn't usually work out when you have
right.
two point guards in at the same time. You only see that sometimes if it's late in the game and they don't want a turnover. And
right.
Strickland, he made a stink. And I really can't blame the guy because he didn't want to spend, you know, good years out of his career as a backup. So
mm-hmm.
he made a stink, and then they traded him, and, you know, he went on to play pretty well for a bunch of teams. But, yeah, it didn't work with the two point guards in New York. That didn't work out.
Yes. Let's move on. We already talked about the JaVale McGee trade, as I said. The Nuggets are cleaning house. I guess this is Shaw's, hey, you said the players weren't responding. We got rid of some of them. You got a half a year to fix this. I don't know. But my Wizards, they actually, in my opinion, made a very smart move. They went younger with a decent guard. They traded Andre Miller, point guard, to Sacramento for Ramon Sessions. And Ramon Sessions is a pretty decent point guard. He'll come in and spell John Wall. And although I do like Miller, he's a little older, though. But I think Ramon Sessions can step in and keep the life and quick legs going. Your thoughts on this trade, Jerry?
I like this trade a lot. I'm not a big Andre Miller fan. He's a serviceable guard, but Ramon Sessions, I definitely I think the Kings that made a mistake, and the Wizards got a very good guard to back up John Wall, and just going to reinforce their bench, especially getting into the playoffs. I really like this trade. Andre Miller goes back to George Karl, but he's far removed, in my opinion, from what he used to be. And I think Washington really made out in this one.
I think so, too. Jeff, your thoughts?
You know, I'm not that familiar with the players. Does Wall really – are they in need of a backup for him?
Well, not in need of a backup, but I would say a younger player that can back him up. Miller is good, but he's up there in age, and
mm-hmm.
if you're going to use a run-style offense, he's not your guy. But Sessions is. Sessions can run. Not saying he's that much younger than Miller, but he's quite capable of keeping up a fast pace. His problem is he sometimes gets injured, and that can hurt you, especially if you have a lot of talent. We were talking about Mark Jackson, how good he is, and you mentioned how bad his knees were. That's what actually ended up sending them to other teams. So, you know, Ramon Sessions is a pretty good player in the deal, in my opinion. But other than that, Jeff, your guess is as good as mine as, you know, whether this trade will work out or not. All right, last trade that we can talk about at least right now until something else pops up. And it makes sense. Since the Miami Heat acquired the Dragic brothers, they had to get rid of a point guard. And they sent Norris Cole to New Orleans and got small forward John Salmons. Now, I really don't think this was a big deal trade, mainly because Norris is a decent point guard. Is he going to be that facilitator that they need for the unibrow? Nah. I think he's going to be more of a Derrick Rose, I'm going to try to win every game on my own type player. I got talent, but I don't have supreme talent. But unibrow didn't get better with this trade, in my opinion. Anthony Davis needed a distributing point guard. He needed someone that can set up the offense and run the offense. And he can score, but his main focus is on the defensive side, blocking shots, getting rebounds. He is a big-time player for them, the franchise for them, I should say. But at the same time, I don't think this trade helps the Pelicans at all. Jeff, then Jerry, your thoughts?
I'm not too big on the freaking Norris Coles. He hasn't impressed me that much at all. I think the Miami Heat got the better of that for sure. But the only problem with this is that I think Dragic, doesn't he have an opt-out clause or something like that come this summer or something like that?
Which one?
I think it's Goran, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure either, but it could be.
Well, I mean, pretty sure if the Heat traded for him, they have, an idea that they want to try to keep this guy. So hopefully he can blend in with the players that are sitting there in Miami right now. So didn't he have some issues with the team he was formerly with, the Suns? That's one of the reasons why they wanted to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, he got buried on the bench behind Isaiah Thomas and someone else. I can't remember exactly who it was. But Isaiah Thomas and the other point guard, along with Dragic, were splitting time three ways. And Dragic was coming up on the short end of the stick. His projection has gone down quite a bit from last year. So you just never know. Jeffrey, my boy.
You know, it's tough because you don't know all the pertinent details, because some guys are chronic malcontents and some guys have legitimate issues, and I don't know Dragic personally. I don't know. I get the impression it looks – I don't know. This deal might revive Miami. I'm not quite sure. But the thing is, if these are people you know personally or – you know the situation, you could probably judge it a little better. But I'll tell you, though, when they make these deals for guys at the end of their contract and they're giving up a lot, I would hate to take that risk, you know, because you're giving up a lot and you could lose a guy, you know. And but teams make those deals, and it's very risky.
Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, unless something else pops up, that's going to end our discussion on the NBA trade deadline. We can talk a little bit about a couple more things in the NBA, or we can go directly to football because I have a couple other topics I want to discuss, along with fantasy baseball. I'm on that tip right now. When we return, at some point we're going to discuss the NFL Combine. Here's my question I want everyone to ponder. Why is Jameis Winston the best player in this year's upcoming draft? Think about it. biggest name you ever see, along with J.K. Money and Jeff Goldberg, right here on the FSP Crew Show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show, as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show, as it streams 24/7, 365, for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, all right, all right. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, back at you, doing a deep of the do it for you, along with my main man, and always full of ATM money, Jerry, the Master Taylor. And he starred in the Dark Knight, not Dark Knight Rises, Batman Returns, whatever it is, Jeff, Joker, Goldberg. You're looking at the FSP Crew Show, Thursday edition. Actually, it's the NBA trade deadline edition, and we just got finished discussing that topic. We're going to jump into the NFL Combine real quick and spend a little bit of time discussing some players that we're interested in seeing and knowing about. But first, I pose the question. And the question is, why is Jameis Winston the best player in this year's NFL draft? So with that being said, I'm going to open the floor up, and I know Jeff has something to say, and I know Jerry has something to say, but I want to start with our kosher deli guy, Jeff.
Oh, God.
You're my man, bro.
Go ahead, Jeff. Give it to him.
You know what? I don't live in the kosher deli neighborhood. I don't live in the hood. I live in the barrio. You know, so there's no kosher delis in my neighborhood. I know where a few are, but there's none near me. You know, but they gotta have a pickle bar. If they got a pickle bar, then I go. that's good stuff, man. It's addictive. I'll tell you, this Winston, I think he's a high-risk, high-reward guy. I'm a conservative guy, you know, because we're not talking seventh-round pick. You know, we're talking high first-round pick and, you know, quarterback, face of the franchise, all that. I don't have the stomach for that kind of risk because, you know, he could be the next Jamarcus Russell. Because, you know, he put on some weight at the end of last season. Maybe it's because his ankle was bad, but which I give him credit. He did lose. He's done a good job of losing some of that weight for the combine, which that looks good, because once in a while, if a guy shows up chubby at the combine, It's like wearing a pair of jeans to a job interview. You know it's coming. You can't do that. It's just, you know, he looks more NFL ready than Mariota, and these guys will be getting compared forever. But Winston's lack of immaturity, I can't take that kind of risk. It's just, because it's not just like there was one little incident. There was several incidents, and I don't know. I'm glad that the Giants aren't. I think they're picking around 9. They're not going to get him, and he's not the kind of guy they would take. I mean, they're going to have to start developing someone to replace Eli soon, but it's not going to be Winston. But then the other guy, Mariota, you know, seems like, you know, for lack of a better term, a good kid, but he's not quite NFL ready. He'd probably be an excellent fit in Philly, but that's why supposedly they're talking about making a trade with the Jets. The Jets are cursed. So, but who knows? Both of the two top quarterbacks could stink. I'm curious, who's the dark horse? You know, who's besides those two guys? Who's got a good shot?
Well, I think, and before you answer, Jerry, I got a couple comments. I think the dark horse will be the kid from UCLA. I really think so. I think he's going to sneak up in there, Hundley. I think that kid is built for the NFL and has the mindset for the NFL. I also believe that Jameis Winston, I didn't even realize it until I heard it yesterday, that he played at FSU at 246 pounds, and he's down to 238. So 246 pounds. He didn't look like that to me, but he could move and run like that. That was amazing, in my opinion. I'm not sure how true it is, but I saw a picture of him today before I went to work. His face is kind of big. So LeVar Arrington was talking about how when he was getting ready for combine, he was lifting weights and stuff, he gained a lot of muscle weight. But usually, when you gain muscle and it's in your face, it's lean. Your face doesn't seem swollen. His face seems swollen, in my opinion, compared to when he was playing for the national championship. It didn't look that thin. I mean, not for the national championship. When he was playing in the bowl series, he didn't look that thin to me. But 248 pounds, wow. He carries it pretty well, in my opinion, but we'll see. JT, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, you posed the question why he's considered the best player in this draft, the best quarterback he's considered, because he was in a pro offense. He performed well. He was unbeaten until the national championship game this past January, where he – well, without a doubt, it's obvious he has worst game of his college career. But his body of work before that, he was unbeaten in high school. He's been unbeaten up until the time he played in the national championship. And he's always played, for the most part, outstanding. Gun for an arm, big guy, big guy. Stand tall in the pocket, or he can run. Both him and Mariota are, I do believe, the same height, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere around that. quite naturally, you even pointed out, Jameis Winston's got a little bit more girth than Mariota, but both these guys are supposedly the top of the class, with Mr. Hundley from UCLA trying to close in on him, especially make an impression at the NFL Combine. And quite naturally improve their stock, so he rises in the NFL draft. But back to your original question, Jameis Winston's got all the tools. Heisman Trophy winner, I think he's the youngest Heisman Trophy winner youngest guy to win a Heisman Trophy. And he's coming out in his sophomore year. So unless he completely falls flat on his face at the combine and some of the things in the past don't come up and bite him before the NFL draft, I do believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who Lovie Smith has gone on record or supposedly gone on record with unnamed sources saying that he's absolutely in love with this guy, and that's who they're probably going to pick. He's going to be the number one pick, not necessarily the best player in the draft, but the best quarterback in the draft. And there's them quarterback-needy teams. That's why they're drafting one, two, within the top ten.
You know, I gotta admit that I like Jameis Winston's abilities, but I can't remember. Well, Dan Marino. I'll use Dan Marino for an example. Dan Marino came out of Pittsburgh with a lot of baggage, and he was a gunslinger. He was a very, very talented player, or Hall of Fame player, but coming out, we didn't know that. We just knew he was really good.
Uh-huh.
And I'm likening him to Jameis Winston. People knew or had suspicions that Danny was snorting cocaine and other drug use. Now, Don Shula was a very strong coach. His organization was very strong as well. So, you know, I think in Miami in the 80s, come on, Dan probably had a bunch of coke back then, if he was doing that. I'm not saying he was. If he were doing that. But if Winston, can find that same type of I guess, control or care out of Tampa Bay, yeah, Lovie would get him. To me, and I'm thinking fantasy-wise, I think Jameis Winston or Mariota boost Doug Martin's fantasy value. I believe that Winston projects, I forgot the daggone receiver's name, the young receiver.
Where?
Tampa.
Mike Evans?
Mike Evans.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Good time.
Mike Evans stock, even higher. And since they didn't trade Vincent Jackson, I think he makes him an overall better team. Now, with that being said, I don't believe he's the best player in the NFL draft. I do believe – now, let me explain my reasoning. To me, the best overall NFL player would be a player or a person that has great athletic ability as well as character. If you look at the great organizations, they get players that have solid character and pretty solid NFL gameplay because they can sustain them for years. They're not worried about an incident taking place. Green Bay successful, New England successful. Dallas takes troubled players, get a lot of publicity, do a lot of things, and end up 8-8 a lot. So a player like Jameis Winston, who is phenomenal on the field, phenomenal, can bring that to your organization at Tampa Bay, but knowing Lovie Smith, how much will he put up with the off the field? I'm a grown man, I have millions of dollars in my pocket, and I don't have to answer to anybody. Jameis Winston, I don't think he'll be able to put up with it too much because Lovie himself is on a slippery slope. Why? Because he decided to bring in Josh McCown. And he decided to start Josh McCown over Mike Glenn. And the organization just cut Josh McCown. saying?
And I hate to say I told you so, but I, in the beginning of the season, I said he's nothing but a backup, and it definitely proved me right.
Definitely did. All right.
And let me just say this. And I don't get paid millions of dollars to make that type of decision and that type of judgment.
None of us do. But one day we might. Like you said,
Jesus.
Jerry, you got a core of guys right here on this show right now.
Yep.
It's proven because we always have the insight. Missing a couple guys, but you got a core right here that can provide more information and insight on things than some of these GMs, actually. But we'll move on. We've got about 9 minutes left live here. And what I'm going to do right now is one player, and I want a big team, so I like the Brett Hundley one because he's not really getting talked about a lot. But one player for each one of you that you feel will shock and awe this weekend at the Combine.
Wow. That's hard because some of these guys really prepare. And it's such an industry now. It's not even a business. It's an industry. You know, these guys, you know, they get hooked up with agents, which, you know, after they're done playing, it's okay for them to sign with agents. And these agents are usually, they're not just one guy. It's a company. And part of the deal is when you sign with the agent, they have guys to help you prepare for the combine. You know, that's why the big-time players sign with the big-time agents, and they hook you up with a track coach who can help your 40 time or help you with your bench press or whatever. I mean, that's how big-time it is now. So I don't know what guys have been putting in the work, but, like, if a guy doesn't, you know, he sticks out like a turd in a punch bowl, you know. And I'll tell you, I don't think Jameis Winston – to Marino is a good comparison because, you know, I'm an old geezer. I remember when Marino was playing at Pitt. And it was with Marino, the thing with him, I mean, you could say some of the Winston incidents are overblown. Marino, it was just rumors. But the thing he did, the tangible thing that he did that hurt himself was he had a terrific junior year and a disappointing senior year. That might not happen now, because if it happened now, there's a good chance he could have come out after that junior year. But when that happens, when a guy has that disappointing of a senior year, then it's, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? How come he had such a bad year? But there was no – it was all rumors with Marino. There was no arrest or no incidents
right.
or nothing. It was just talk. And, you know, the Dolphins they weren't going to skip on a guy just because of talk, and it worked out great because most of the great quarterbacks get drafted by crappy teams. Marino got drafted by the Dolphins after they went to a Super Bowl. So it was perfect. And Marino was the kind of guy, he said, oh, well, I was hoping to get drafted early. I wasn't. I'm going to show up for camp in great shape and play great. And he did, you know, so he made the best of it.
Okay. You still didn't answer the question, but I got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to give it to Jerry. Give me one player that you think will be the shock of the draft.
Shock of the draft.
I mean, not the draft, of the combine. Of the combine.
Of the combine, okay. Let me pick out one guy. It's going to be a running back. And let me think here who I want. I'm going to say his first name, his last name is Cobb. I forget his first name. I think it's maybe David Cobb.
Oh, the kid from Minnesota?
I think he's from Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, University of Minnesota. He's 190-some-odd pounds, and dude's grease lightning, but he's got to gain some weight.
Wait a minute. He's about 5'10", 5'11", am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay, and you say he weighs 190-something pounds, close to 200 pounds?
Yeah, close to 2.
And he's grease lightning?
Yes.
That sounds like two people that I know right off the bat that were big players. One's still a big player. The other one is his skills have diminished, but I think in the right situation, he still can perform. Talking about Chris Johnson, 198 pounds, about 5'10", 5'11", and Jamal Charles, 198 pounds, 95 pounds, 5'10", 5'11", both of them grease lightning. So that's just up my alley. As long as this guy can do his thing and catch the ball, which is key, because this is a quarterback-driven league and quarterbacks like to throw the ball, this guy can be a game changer. So,
okay. I agree. I believe he is a game changer. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I think he can push his stock pretty high with this combine, which begins tomorrow with kickers and punters. And there aren't that many kickers and punters, but they're going to be there regardless.
Well, it's just not kickers and punters. I mean, it's offensive linemen, and I think it's going to be tight ends, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I thought it was like the special teamers. But I've been wrong before. With that being said, this upcoming show Saturday, we're going to discuss live and some previous combine results on the FSP show.
Also, great day for it, too.
Say again?
Great day, too, because on the Saturday is when the primetime players are up, quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
Correct. We get to see Mariota and Winston throw, reportedly. Mm-hmm. With that being said, also on Saturday, I'm going to break down the shortstops. I'm looking at shortstops in fantasy baseball this Saturday. So we're going to be doing NFL Combine and fantasy baseball shortstops. Since Alex Rodriguez gave his heartfelt handwritten letter, I wanted to get to that. I mean, I can go to overtime for like 3 or 4 minutes, but not too much. So we still got to cook dinner. We're in the New York area. Y'all in the New York area, I want to get your thoughts on that real quick. But that's what's happening Saturday. Real quick, Jerry. You know what? Jeff is a longer talker, so let me get him real quick. Jeff, real quick, your thoughts on A-Rod's supposedly heartfelt handwritten letter to the fans of the game.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it concise. yeah, I've been hearing about this. I'm not a big A-Rod fan. As a kid, I watched a lot of baseball. I don't follow it too much now. You know, at this point, nothing he says makes a difference. And nobody likes him. And he's a very insecure person. It bothers him that people don't like him. He's got a lot of issues. Maybe he's not a bad guy. Now, I'm curious. The Steinbrenners don't like him. The fans don't like him. I'm curious how the Yankees are going to mess with him. I think the Yankees aren't going anywhere this year. I wonder if he's batting 200 in May, if they'll keep him in the lineup to try to humiliate him. And they might send him to the minors. I'm sure that they want to do something to humiliate him. And this is the same guy. Whenever he approached a career milestone, he would slump. And with the pressure and whatnot, and without the supplements, he'll be lucky to hit his weight, and he won't have much power, might not be able to play third base anymore. Other than that, he'll be terrific, he'll be crying. He will be a miserable son of a gun, and this is a prediction. I wouldn't be shocked if they send him down to the minors to try to humiliate him or to agree to a settlement to get rid of him.
Well, he's been out of baseball for a year, so I think he might be going to the minors, really. But we've got 30 seconds left, Jerry. I'll give you like 3 minutes. We're going to overtime, and let's hear what you got to say about your fave, your BFF, A-Rod or A-Roid, however you want to call
it. I've always said I'm not a big A-Rod fan, and I defended him when I thought baseball was railroading him. but I can't defend him anymore. It is what it is. He's he wears two faces, and most of the time he tries to portray the good guy. Obviously, he's been exposed, and now he's backing up and trying to, just like Jeff, gain some type of sympathy and approval. It ain't going to happen. A lot of people, especially the Yankees, are tired of the game that A-Rod's been playing, and he won't go away quietly because he's owed an astronomical amount of money. I don't think he's going to quit. So one way or the other, he's going to get that. I think he's going to get that money. And even though that he may not get the bonuses that he's going to be that's going to be coming up this year if he hits some milestones. Because the Yankees refuse, I think he's going to have to take him to court and sue him to get it. I think he doesn't play third base. I don't think he's capable of playing third base every day. He may be doing some DHing. And I do believe he's coming back. And if and when he plays, I think he's got a point to prove. And I think he's going to hit in the mid-200s and hit at least 20 home runs, believe it or not.
I can believe that. I can believe that. I look forward to seeing A-Rod off the waiver wire as a supplemental player. I'll pay a dollar in real money to get the Roid Man. We'll see. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, I omitted one transaction because it wasn't a trade, but I want to get you guys' quick reaction on this. Amari Stoudemire was released by the New York Knicks. And the following day was signed to the Dallas Mavericks. I think this happened on Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. But he's not playing tonight versus OKC. Your thoughts real quick on your guy Amari Stoudemire leaving the Knicks, either or.
You know, it's a fitting end to a disappointing tenure with the Knicks. Started out terrific, but like all the experts said, you know, he's got very bad knees, but I guess in Dallas they won't need him every night and he'll be playing backup minutes, so it's okay for Dallas, but disappointment the past 3 or 4 years for the Knicks.
I agree.
Sure.
He's finally got rid of a huge contract burden, open up to more salary for future players. Good move by the Knicks. See you, Amari. Hope you feel do better in Dallas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to get off the air. We're going to see you on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we're going to discuss NFL Combine as well as shortstops in the Major League Baseball. That being said, JT, you got anything you want to end the show with?
Tune in on Saturday. Should be a very good show. Got a lot to talk about.
Jeffrey.
Well, it's been a pleasure. God bless. Tune in next week.
As always, that's my guy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Mr. Jeff SP. I'm signing out. And you know what? Mr. Encore needs to talk a little bit. Here we go.
Yeah. Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.